Go back to the specifics of the Marine Fest team. Do you actually name in the report the officers who told them to get off the plane and change into civilian uniforms? Do you name names and those kinds of details?
No, sir.
And follow-up is...
Do we name the details or the names?
Of the actual names of people who gave orders.
We tried to honor DOD's request with respect to how high up you are before your name is used publicly, as opposed to using the names of people who we try to be sensitive to that. Frankly, across all agencies, I don't think you're going to see the names of the people. You'll see the title. You'll be able to read the transcript if we can ever get the transcripts cleared. And more importantly, you'll be able to see the underlying data. And that, to me, is what's important. You may read an email from Ambassador Mull. You may read it differently than the way I read it. I don't know how you could, but you might. I want you to be able to read the email. I want you to be able to see what Pat Kennedy said during the firefight. I don't want you to take my word for it. But I need a little bit of help from the administration to clear the underlying data and the transcripts. I don't think this is lost on y'all. I really don't. I think y'all know all of the transcripts that I can make publicly available are going to be made publicly available. I don't think it's fair to piecemeal them out, but I think they ought to be made publicly available, and you ought to look at the underlying data, and then you can decide whether or not the report fairly addresses the testimony of Witness X. If you read the transcript and you say that's in context, yeah, I'll give them a check mark, or that's not in context, I don't want you taking my word for anything. I want you reading it for yourself.
Mr. Chairman, Charles Woods has asked the president publicly if the drone witnessed the death of his son. Do you know if the drone captured that and it was fed to the White House?
I know that the drone was in place at the time of the mortar attacks. I do not know the degree of granularity and particularity that the drone video footage has. You raise an interesting point. When you meet with the families privately, you hear questions that you would never hear in a press conference. They're incredibly personal questions. Because while these are four fellow Americans to us, they are sons and husbands and brothers to the people that we talk to at the very beginning and the last group that I talk to, which are the family. The questions are very, very different. And I, even though it's not in the report, I am happy that we were also able to answer some of the intimate questions that were asked by the family of those that were killed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. You've
all
been
right, my friends at
a very lengthy press
Wednesday conference.
Of the, House,
the committee
the
is
Republican
departing.
The House
press members are running to make their reports. I think we want to listen to a little bit of what the commentator on news on CNN is going to say before we begin to dissect it ourselves. So raise the level again.
Laying out their findings, investigating the terror attack at the consulate in Benghazi, and also defending their work. That
going
was
to put report here that the GOP-led panel finds no wrongdoing by Clinton.
And defending their work.
This is what CNN is saying.
The focus of their investigation was at
drunk?
One point several people said this report was never
saying.
About one person. It was about much more than that. The one person, obviously, we're talking about is a presumptive Democratic nominee, then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who very famously spent 11 hours of testimony before this committee back in 2015. Let's get to Dana Bash, who's in the room, spoke with these members of Congress at this press conference. Dana, what are your headlines here?
Well, you know, first of all, just the fact that Trey Gowdy insisted ahead of time and insisted all throughout the past 2 years as he's been leading this investigation that it was going to be comprehensive and that it, at the end of the day, we're all going to see that it wasn't about Hillary Clinton. And, you know, he insists still that it wasn't. And the bottom line is that there are a lot of Republicans, his fellow Republicans, who wanted it to be about Hillary Clinton. And I think that was really on display on this stage. And the fact that two of his fellow Republicans on this committee felt the need to go ahead and have a separate report which did draw conclusions, which the main 800-page report did not, and drew conclusions that were highly critical, very sharp when it comes to Hillary Clinton and, of course, the broader administration making political decisions they insist and not based on the lives and the reality of what happened on the ground. But because we are just a few months away from the election, Hillary Clinton is on everybody's mind. She was a big part of the question here, including something that I asked the chairman. Let's take a listen.
Dana, shockingly, that was not what the House asked me to do. Look at the resolution. The resolution doesn't mention Secretary Clinton. Speaker Boehner nor Speaker Ryan have ever asked me to do anything about 2016 presidential politics. Speaker Boehner asked me to find out what happened to four of our fellow citizens, and I believe that that is what I have done. You are welcome to read the report. I hope you will. I know you will. If you, at the end of reading that report, can conclude that it is about one person instead of about four people, I will be shocked.
I'm asking the opposite question. Do you believe, after doing this for 2 years, spending all of your time and millions of dollars, do you believe that based on this, that the American people should look at this and see that the woman who wants to be president has culpability?
I was with you until the last clause of your statement. I think the American people ought to look at it. They ought to look at it because fellow Americans died and fellow Americans were injured and fellow Americans went to heroic lengths to save other Americans. What conclusions they draw after reading it is up to them.
Do you disagree with Mr. Pompeo?
I wrote the report that I think is centered in the facts.
We may have his decision
to stick with that, even when he's asked about bumper stickers that we see on the campaign trail of Republican rallies saying that Hillary Clinton lied, wouldn't go there, although others would. Where he did go, Chairman Gowdy, was on the question of Susan Rice, who's now the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. She, at the time, back in 2012, was the national security advisor. She was, of course, now the person who went out on all five Sunday talk shows and said that the reason for the attack was based on a video, a Muslim video. Well, he went there with regard to Susan Rice, suggesting that she was misinformed, that she was ill-informed, that she was not prepared. And let me just read you quickly one quote from the report about Susan Rice. And this is from a desk officer, a senior Libya desk officer, talking about the way Rice initially described this. He said, "I think Rice was off the reservation on this one." And then another, "off the reservation on five networks." So that kind of gives a little bit of insight into what was going on behind the scenes during that very controversial appearance, which, you know, at the time, you know, 2 years ago, was talked about for a very long time, and it was been one of the crux arguments, the core arguments of Republicans saying that the administration was misleading on this issue and why and how.
All right, I may have missed a couple of moments
in my tone down the
feed coming out of CNN. I may have missed a couple of statements from either the presenters on this matter, but I don't remember hearing Susan Rice's name mentioned. It may have been, and I'll stand corrected if it had it been, but I certainly thought it should have been with respect to the fact that she was the one that promoted the idea that this was a response to a video that all seven of those persons have indicated that video had been out long or much earlier and it had been absorbed and it wasn't a part of the reason for it. It was an actual terrorist attack. And that Hillary Clinton herself, in her notes, had a public and a private statement. Her public statement was that this was a bunch of guys out for an evening of whatever it is, rowdiness, and were also inspired by the video to attack the compound there. While her private statements were consistently, and they've been able to unearth that with the evidence, that this was indeed a terrorist attack. We have three reports here. Actually, we have the report of the Democrats led by Elijah Cummings, who we don't hear or see in this process. And what we know about from the outset of this committee establishment, that the five Democrats that were established to work in conjunction with the Republicans were rebellious to this whole idea and probably did everything they probably could to stymie this report coming out as clear as it has come out. And then, of course, we got Trey Gowdy, who was the chairman of the committee, who issued a scathing report and pointed out that there were no assets headed towards Benghazi during the time of the fight, while two had already died. And I think it's Glenn Daugherty and Ty Powers were also on their way to the compound. They died. They perhaps could have been saved. And that there was misinformation by the administration at the top level, including Obama, on this whole matter. And then, of course, we had a more scathing report from Representative Frank, from Lynn Westmoreland, holding Hillary Clinton, completely responsible for this and calling her actions utterly reprehensible. These three reports. But the bottom line we perceive here is that this demonstrates what many of us have long since believed, that Benghazi was a disaster that happened for political expediency for the Obama administration, and they lied through their teeth. I know we've got Michael Massey on the line, and we've got Sabah, we've got you there as well. Michael, have you been listening to this report?
I just heard the brief moments when I was connected into your board.
Yeah, it's been going on for more than an hour.
Yeah, about an hour and a half.
Seven of the committee members have spoken, giving scathing reports about the failure of the fact that when Ambassador Stevens arrived at Benghazi on the 10th and began to hold hearings on security, recognized that the place was terribly without the appropriate security. Moreover, when it was reported in Washington that there was an attack going on, whether it was Lynn Westmoreland or Pompey, I'll have to go back and check my notes, stated that the strongest military, the greatest military in the world, had no assets, they had no planes, they had nothing going there to protect those people who were in a vicious fight that later resulted into a mortar attack. But there was nothing that the military did. There was nothing that Washington did. Washington ordered no help. Moreover, there had been numerous requests for greater security in Libya and in Benghazi in particular. And this was a part of the new evidence that was reported, that was given in this report. And that though the Clinton administration had approved a $20 million grant to some organization previously, they had relentlessly and repeatedly refused the request for more security at the Benghazi compound and in Libya in particular. And it's a scathing report. I don't know how Hillary is going to survive this.
Yeah.
However, I did notice that when the reporters were asking, they immediately ran to her defense.
Yes.
And began to make this a partisan report. That there was
all of that is well and good, and it's wonderful that people are buying into the narrative. But what this comes down to is that, and I held the wife of Tyrone Woods, who was murdered in Benghazi. I held his wife in my arms as she sobbed into my chest, and I assured her that I would not forget this, and that I would do everything in my power to make sure this doesn't go away until people are brought to justice. Obama hasn't met with these people, but everything you're saying this morning and everything that's coming out of this report is wonderful. All it does is change the narrative. There are specific facts that are not being addressed, and those are the things that are important. Until those are addressed, nothing else matters. What this was about was weapons from the former Libyan military stockpiles that were marked and being shipped to the port of Benghazi in Libya and to the port of Benias, as it's, if I pronounce pronounce that correctly, and the point of Bourj Islam, both of those in Syria, and ISIS taking those weapons and turning them back on Americans and everyone else. Those weapons included, those weapons were shipped during late August. They included sniper rifles, RPGs, 125 millimeters and 155 millimeter howitzers. The attack on the diplomatic mission where Ambassador Stevens, Sean Smith, Tyrone Woods, Glenn Doherty, and I should say that a close personal friend and Navy SEAL partner with Glenn Doherty was a member of my personal security detail in a city that I spoke at not that long ago. So I know of what I speak. These people were slaughtered. These people were slaughtered by jihadists. That slaughter occurred weeks after this weapons shipment. What's not being discussed, the other thing that's not being discussed, is that shipping weapons and support to foreign countries or special interest groups are in direct violation of the Boland Amendment. No one's discussing that.
You're right. We aren't hearing.
The fact that Trey Gowdy, I've witnessed convicted murderers brought to trial faster. I've had murderers brought to trial. I've seen murderers brought to trial, convicted, sentenced, and sent away in less time than the Congress. The Trey Gowdy with unlimited monies, unlimited funds, unlimited everything.
Well, you're probably right, Mike.
This is nothing more than
Michael, you're probably right.
What they are doing now is changing the narrative, and I'm saying it on your show, and I just said it moments ago.
All right, you might be right about the weapons.
Let me say
but
this,
I do think
I would not be surprised to see if this does not have ties back to the EU.
All right, you may be right about the weapons, but I do think that Gowdy did make this a political statement that was 56 days before the next election, and they wanted to make themselves look good, and there's no doubt about that.
Yes.
He did make that clear, and Sabbath, I'm sure you want to chime in on this as well.
In terms of there
was no information about the weapons, as you have pointed out. But I think the report is scathing. I think Hillary's going to have a difficult time crawling out from underneath this rock.
But Dr. Manning,
Mike, let Sabbath give her a response.
Well, Michael, here's my question to you, because I know what you're saying is true. So my question to you is because
and valid.
Yeah, the bottom line is that Washington did not send the help.
Absolutely,
and that's the bottom line.
Whether or not the lives could have been saved.
Which is what I was coming to, Sabbath.
Right. Yeah.
The question that needs to be asked is first of all, you look at the murder. Second of all, you say, why did Obama refuse to send aid to these these Marines, to these SEALs?
Well, you know, let me interject here. Trey Gowdy stated that he was about the what, the how, and the when.
The when.
But he was
why.
Not about the why.
Why.
Obviously, he knows that there's a why here.
Yes.
He made that emphatic statement. I'm not about the why. You're talking about the why, and I appreciate that. I'm not running it down. But he made it clear that there was a why, but that was not what this report was all about, or to find, or nor the
report. The why is what's important.
But what I think what is important here is that while these were under attack, Washington made no attempt to help them.
That's right.
Number two, once the attack happened and four people died, Washington covered it up for political expediency. That is what this report was all about. And I appreciate
That's a
valid statement.
All that, all the report does is.
But I think what we want to do,
it's important.
It's not a shifting of the narrative. It's not a shifting of the narrative. What we want to do is that we want to recognize.
Unless the report.
Mike, what we want to do is we want to recognize that our strongest military in the world did not come to the aid of our ambassadors.
And
there could be a thousand reasons why they didn't do it. But I think the fact that that it has been proven that they didn't do it is something that
But we know that. We knew that the next morning that Obama watched this real time. We had live drones.
I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I think that the reports have been skewed. They've been political partisan about this. There have been different reports given whether or not they did or did not.
I'm not talking about reports. I'm talking about people that were there.
I don't think. Well, maybe you should have listened. Maybe you should have listened to the entire report.
Eastern time.
Maybe you should have listened to the entire report.
I don't want to watch any more of this.
Maybe you should listen to the entire report, because had you listened, I think you would also would agree with me that there was new information that has never been presented that I have never heard. And I follow this pretty closely as a news commentator myself. There was a ton of new information that has been brought forth in this report. The fact that you didn't hear it, so maybe you would be without the opportunity to comment on it.
I don't think it's a shifting of the narrative.
This is a scathing report against Hillary Clinton and against Obama. I think Obama ought to be impeached on behalf of what has been said here in this report today.
I still go back to the point of what I'm saying. This was about gun running, weapons trading.
Okay.
It was about money coming into the Clinton coffers. It was about the Obamas.
Okay.
And we're looking at a direct violation of the Boland Act. And then we're looking at the two chief principals, Hillary Clinton and Obama, who refused to send aid to these people.
That's what's key. Why is important. There's no doubt about it. And Ty Woods, a mother sobbing, a wife sobbing in your chest, is great. It's important. But the fact is that that our government did not respond. That the cavalry did not.
And I think the bottom line is what people, American people, when they read themselves, and even though Gowdy didn't want to come out and implicate Hillary Clinton. The bottom line is, when you listen to this, there's no way that you cannot draw the conclusion that the Obama administration, along with Hillary Clinton, purposely did not send the help to save
these
Americans.
That presumes that the Facebook crowd understand and are willing to accept truth. The CNN and Facebook crowd, they're not, you know, it's like, so what? Yeah, but. Or it was it this is just this and they did that. Never underestimate the ability of the American people to dispel facts.
Again, I think because you didn't hit a report, you might be, and you have this other ancillary information.
Dr. Manning, let me just say this. I'm not being fed about the report. I'm looking at notes. I haven't sat down and read it in detail, but I was the second or third national figure to point out immediately after this that these things have happened. I've talked to people there. What I've not read in writing does not undermine what I know to be factual from talking to sources, talking to people that were there, talking to people that have intimate information and knowledge of what took place in Benghazi.
Yeah, but you are responding.
And the whole weapons running thing. I've been aware
but you
of that,
are
and
responding,
I've been talking
but
about
Michael,
that.
Yeah, I understand. But you are responding in a way that diminishes the fact that our military allowed four of its citizens to die. And that's the point that I want to make.
You are diminishing that fact that it has been unearthed and documented, and now in a report. That's factually inaccurate, Dr. Manning. That's factually inaccurate.
Well, it appears that way to me that that's what you're doing.
I'm speaking to the fact that the most important part of what took place there is not being addressed, and that is why did the Secretary of State give their tacit approval for the assassination of four Americans? That's the question that needs to be addressed.
I think, Pastor, one of the things that really stood out, although we just heard over this hour, I'm not sure if it was Gowdy or another speaker, but when he said when military is sent to whatever areas they're sent to, and something happens, you expect the country that you are defending and fighting for to move heaven and earth to come out to save you or rescue you or to help you in any kind of way. And when that does not take place, when that does not take place, that's a problem. That's a huge problem.
It's a miscarriage of justice, and also
exactly
I think was stated
like
that
how can we expect our ambassadors this in real time? He watched it in real time.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike, maybe you have other information that we did that these committee members don't have. And a perspective that they don't have, because what this committee has just presented is the fact that our government failed, and you use the term tacitly approved of their assassinations.
When someone asks for help, that's in the process of having their life threatened.
The few moments we have left, Michael, is a tacit. Okay. All right. Fine. Let's try to move to another point. All right. Because all right. Here. So now that this has been made public and substantiated in a report that has now been filed by the House Select Committee on Benghazi, that implicates that the military was never involved in the process of protecting the lives that these people died without the support of the American government. How does this affect the Hillary campaign? How does this affect her going forward? What will happen? Will there be some other way in which it will be explained or spinned, or do we see Hillary slipping off the radar screen as a result of that? I think that's where I want to go in the few moments we have left.
Well,
what's your take on that?
Hillary destroyed some 33,000 emails, and 4:30 this morning, I was pondering the fact yet again that how could I have been so wrong in knowing that she was not going to run for office, and yet here she is. And I still continue. 4:30 this morning, I was still sorting through and looking at that. So, and then moving forward to the erased email.
Will she survive? Forget about the email controversy.
We can't forget about the email controversy.
Let's put in place subject matter and topic. Will she survive this report about Benghazi?
What did she say? She said that. She lied.
The report documents.
Come out of it.
The report documents that she lied. The T-shirt is right. She lied. People died.
Right.
The report documents that unequivocally there is no wiggle room. There's no way in which she can obfuscate this. She lied, and she lied profusely about this matter of the death of Benghazi.
First of all, if we're talking in legal terms. A lawyer told me a very long time ago that a person is not guilty until that lawyer, his client, is not guilty until he says he is. If she and you're talking about one of the most acute legal minds.
But how does she? Lawyers are not going
to
be voting for her. How does she survive? What I'd like to have your expertise on at this point in the moment we have left. How does she now continue her campaign for the presidency with this information going forward? There's a lot of other things to be talked about.
Vast right-wing conspiracy. We've talked about this. There's nothing new there. People can say what they want. They can make things up. Well, that's what it says, but that's not really what happened. They over-dramatize this. It's more of a conspiracy. I'm a woman. They wouldn't be saying that about a man. That's how she'll run with it.
Okay.
The other thing is, Pastor, you know, I've been watching this since this early this morning, and the thing that CNN kept stating over and over again was that there was no smoking gun found in this research
and
that they did, which is ridiculous.
It is absolutely insane.
But the media,
Sabbath, there you have exactly what I'm saying as to how she's in response to Dr. Manning, how she's going to get out of this.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Michael, good talking to you. We're going to move on from this point. We'll see how this breaks in the coming days with the campaign. I think it's going to be devastating for her to try to overcome this, even with the things that you said she can probably obfuscate with. But thanks for being with us today anyway. All right, everybody.
As
we're going to take a break, and
best,
we'll
champ.
Be right back with more of the Manning Report.
Johnny's in the basement, logged on the internet. I'm in my headset, thinking about the government. Pinch-nosed Negro, Manning got a report. Long-legged Mac Daddy, stick me in the dictionary. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit. Manning makes a U.S. bird, need to make a U-turn. Outlaw, she said, that's what God said. Children walking barefoot, 50,000 righteous men.
It's so scary to even hear a doctor say your child has cancer.
It was really touch and go. Is this going to be, you know, the last time I might see my daughter?
Honestly, at that point, I thought she was going to die.
Every day, children face battles they should never have to fight. Diseases like cancer and sickle cell disease attack our youngest and most innocent. But they don't have to face it alone. We can walk beside them. Here at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, doctors and scientists are fighting every day to save children's lives.
It is unbelievable to receive the type of treatment that you receive here with the love, with the caring, with the concern.
These are children who need to hear a message of hope. You can help children live by becoming a St. Jude Partner in Hope with your pledge of just $19 a month.
Daddy! I'm so proud of Kennedy. She's never shown any sign of being upset or, for that matter, even being sad about anything.
Families never pay St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. And St. Jude is home to one of the largest pediatric sickle cell disease programs in the country. Your gift of just $19 a month will help St. Jude continue the fight against childhood cancer and other deadly diseases.
I didn't think I would see another birthday. I didn't think in the beginning that I would get another year.
That $19 is physically, literally, and continuously going to save someone's life. Your donation has saved my daughter.
Together, we can help St. Jude Children's Research Hospital continue to make a difference in the lives of children everywhere. Please call today and become a St. Jude Partner in Hope right now.
Outlaw. That's what God said. That's what God said. That's what God said.
We're pressed for time here today because the live press conference on this House Select Committee was so enthralling and quite long as well. But Sabbath, you had a question that we weren't able to get in while Mike was on the line.
I had stated that I've been watching this since this morning,
right,
and that CNN has stated that even this, in this report, there was no smoking gun.
Right.
That they had not given out any new information that we
Absolutely.
Didn't already know.
Nothing
so my question to you was, how is it that they are able to get away with this? Anyone who has heard this report can come up with the conclusion that the Obama administration, along with Hillary Clinton, had a large role to play in what took place. So how is it that they're going to be able to get away with making the statement?
All right. My response to that question is this, is that obviously, let me just preface it by saying, after the conference and the chairman, Trey Gowdy, had allowed all seven members to speak, including himself, the questions from the media were not questions that were seeking detailed information or affirming any of the information or stating that the information is now documented and how it is new information and perhaps that they were not privileged to before. What they did was they attacked the messenger. They attacked Trey Gowdy. They attacked the committee, all of them, one and all.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two is that we only have to look back to the Obama administration, Sabbath, when you look at the media and how it covers up information right before your very eyes. The media ask you who you're going to believe, the media or your lying eyes. When we look at Obama, who was wholly and completely ineligible to serve as president, he was a phony from way back when, never attended Columbia University, yet the media covered it up completely. Even one of their own, George Stephanopoulos, who indicated that he had never seen Obama at Columbia, and Fox News had reported that there was never any report about Obama ever being at Columbia. So I think when you ask that question, right, is it possible for them to take this report and do the exact same thing that they did for Obama? Yes, absolutely. And the follow-up question, wow, will they do it? Yeah, they will. That's exactly what they're going to do. And I think the final part of that answer to that question, Sabbath, is this, is that there are people in America who just don't give a damn. They don't care. They don't care about that, the fact that Benghazi happened and Obama and Hillary Clinton did not come to the aid of our fellow Americans. They don't care. Their logic is this, is that, well, it was perhaps a mistake. If we need to, we'll forgive them for it. But we'd rather have Hillary Clinton, even though she failed those and Benghazi, than Donald Trump, which is what, and people will continue to give her the support.
Right.
Which brings me to my final statement regarding this. A number of people are saying to me, how could I now not support Donald Trump? They're saying to me, so what if he's a bit tolerant of the sodomite lifestyle? I should, as a pastor and a Christian, that I should support him anyway, because he's better than Hillary Clinton, who is a stalwart, if you will, sodomite herself. Mm-hmm. And so I should choose the lesser of the, if you will, two evils. And they've added that Trump does do and say a lot of things that I believe in and would like to see happen. And so that's where they're going to go with this. My response to that is that, yeah, I hear you, but I do not give up my own personal integrity, no matter how many other right things a person does. If someone stands wholly and completely over against the word of God,
amen,
which is my only salvation, have no
that
life against that. Quite frankly, Donald Trump is against me. He's against the very essence of who I am and what I do and what I teach. If he's tolerant of sodomites, he's tolerance of the sodomites that attack our church. He's tolerance of the sodomites that want to take our building. He's tolerant of the sodomites that call our children monkeys. He's tolerant of the people that attack us daily in the media. There's no way I can wink at that. Moreover, my support of Jesus far outweighs,
amen,
any kind of support I can give
to
Donald Trump. But I'm supporting Jesus.
Yes.
That's who I'm for. I'm for Jesus.
That's right.
And I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to step away from Jesus for just a moment to support a political candidate. Now, will I pray for Donald Trump? I'll do that. I won't do that for others. I'm not praying for Hillary, but I'll pray for Donald. But there ain't no way, as long as he's tolerant of sodomy, that I could ever vote for him or ask anybody else to vote for him. And finally, you know, people look at me, and they're saying the same thing. They would say the same thing, Sabbath, that I'm now saying about Donald Trump. You know, if I winked at this and said, okay, all right, it may not be, everything I want him to be, but I'll, because it's a, you know, then when another critical item comes up, they'll look at me and say, well, you'll switch if
that's
it's
right,
expedient.
That's right.
If it's convenient,
mm-hmm,
if it's financially rewarding, you will switch your political and your biblical beliefs for expediency. I would rather die 1,000 deaths in hell before it ever be said for me, said about me, that I switch my biblical beliefs based on whether it's political expediency. And finally, for Mr. Trump to switch his political beliefs causes me great concern. I'm now seeing that he's walking back the ban on Muslims as well, that he's switching that as well. Am I going to continue to pray for him? Yes. But I can tell you this, it'll never be said about James David Manning,
amen,
for political expediency, that I will switch my political beliefs. So that's why they're going to still support,
amen,
Hillary
and
Clinton.
You know, the only question I would have for those people who are making those statements to you, who say that they are Christians, is this. One day, all of us are going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one of us. Are you willing, are you prepared to stand before Jesus, look him in the eyes and say to him, I supported someone who went against your word.
Right.
I knew that it was wrong, but I did it because, amen, Lord, I had to choose this person over the next person. Are you willing to look Jesus in the eyes and tell him that? That's the question I have.
Not me. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. I'm not going to do it any for anything. I need Jesus. I don't need Donald Trump, but amen. I need
right.
Jesus.
That's right.
I need, and not only that, I need the youngest member of this congregation that listens to me and all the people across the years that have heard me preach, who states and emphatically points out that their lives have been blessed because they know I'm past the truth.
I preach
the truth.
Right.
I need them. I don't need Donald Trump for nothing. I mean, am I praying for him? I don't mean to slam Donald Trump. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying I don't need him for anything. I need that five-year-old child that sits in our church and hears me preach. That's who I need. That's who I want. If I'm going to bend over backwards for anybody, it's going to be for those that are being blessed by the
Amen.
Teaching.
Amen.
If I'm going to do any kind of bending over, it's going to be for them. I don't think people realize that, maybe, and I'm not certainly against anyone, but maybe their integrity level has not risen to that point, and maybe they just don't know my Savior the way I do. He's all that I got, Sabbath, and I ain't never going to turn my back on him. Never for nobody. At no time. Having said that, we have to, our broadcast is going to conclude today. I need to let you know I'm going to be in court tomorrow morning before Judge Manuel Mendez at 71 Thomas Street, New York City, New York's Supreme Court, in room 210, I think it is, where the hearing will be get underway on the matter of the foreclosure action against our church, the Mellon Bank, and the City of New York Department of Environmental Protection. Sabbath will be holding down the fort tomorrow. Depends on how long I'll be there. I will probably also be chiming in from the courtroom by way of phone calls or text messages or Twitter messages. So I will be active tomorrow in the broadcast tomorrow. But you're free to join us in the courtroom if you're so interested. We invite friends and enemies alike to be with us tomorrow as the hearing gets underway at 71 Thomas Street, New York State Supreme Court, 71 Thomas Street, New York City, before Judge Emmanuel Mendez. The room is 210. We believe it's going to be a very exciting time as of tomorrow. Now, there's one other thing I need to express, and I'll have to do this at a time when I have more opportunity to express this and lay it out. But I will be pointing up our exposure of Mellon Bank. I want to put together, I want to talk to my friends across America and across the world about the possibility of our buying the Mellon Bank. Now, we have a number of people that we have realized who churches are being foreclosed and banks are doing this. But I'm convinced that our membership nationally and internationally is strong enough to put together the funding to buy the Mellon Bank. Now, have we launched the committee as of yet? No. I'm going to talk with several respectable people, lawyers, bankers, and financial people, real estate developers, and others about this before we officially launch. However, I do want to state that is something that we want to try to accomplish. Now, having said that, it does not mean that we're rolling in the dough, that we're rolling in the Benjamins, that we got a ton of money here to go out and buy a bank. We're still in desperate need for continued funding, the completion of the funding of our trip to China and to South Korea. And we're also in desperate need of continuing payments to our attorney. We're not rolling into Benjamins. See, that's not what I'm saying. And don't anybody misunderstand that. And let me quickly state, I thank everybody who's given and continues to give to support our efforts here before the lawyers and for the trip and for the ongoing ministry here at the Outlaw World Missionary Church. We love you for that, and we thank you. We praise God for you for that. But I believe that if the battle cry goes out, we might want to send out a signal that we can buy a bank and put together a committee that can run that bank, that we have enough people that are sufficiently financially ready to do that. And the bank I think we want to choose is the Mellon Bank. We're going to sue them anyway for fraudulent activities against us. They've committed predatory foreclosure action against us. And we're going to sue their keisters and part of the process of the funding
will be the amount of Amen. Reward that we will get. They implemented predatory financing foreclosure practices in violation of several laws, and there's no getting away from it. It's already documented. So it may be just a cakewalk to find the people to put together the financial strength and also the administrative strength to buy the Mellon Bank. Will it happen? I'm not guaranteeing it, but I can tell you right now, it's like Georgia. It's on my mind. We're going to close out today with one of our students and Vestal Virgin, who is entering her first year at Fordham University, an extraordinary young woman who was born in this church. Her family brought her here and raised in this church and ministry, and just an extraordinary individual, well-spoken, has a great mind. She's under the extreme blessings and anointing that God has meted out to the people of the Atma World Missionary Church. She's under a blessing that cannot be reversed. And you're going to be so amazed at this young girl who is going to speak to our students. She graduated from Atma High School herself. Now she is entering Fordham University. And she has some words of wisdom for our young people. I want you to hear her, and then we'll be back with some closing remarks. Roll that tape on Esther Butler.
Good morning, everyone, and peace to you all. Welcome to Great Tomorrow's Elementary, Middle School, and Atla High School's 21st Annual Graduation and Commencement Ceremony. Today is what I like to describe in my mind as a very, very special day, as there are students here who have worked tirelessly all year to be promoted to the next grade or to graduate. And I think that we should just give them a round of applause right now. Now, what I'm looking at before me today are all students. They come to school, some of them not so regularly as others, but they come to school and they sit in the classroom from 8 to 4. But there is a difference between being a student and being a great student. A great student is one who doesn't come to school because they have to, but comes to school because they want to. A great student wants to learn. They have the hunger and the drive and determination to be bigger and better than the average human being. A great student doesn't... A great student has their flaws. They do. They may not always want to do their homework or write a paper or put in the extra effort, but they do it. Anybody can sit in the classroom from 8 to 4 and just listen. Information going in through one ear and coming right out the next. Sit there, they'll stare at you. Do you understand? Yeah, I understand. But a great student retains that information, and lets it build in their memory. This school has the MAD curriculum, which is M, memory, A, articulation, and D, discipline. But memory and articulation fails without discipline. I've observed, because as being a part of this school since kindergarten through 12th grade, I have observed that a lot of my classmates were just students. They just came to school, they may have passed a test or two, may have cheated on a test or two, but I don't really want to toot my own horn, and I'm not trying to brag, but I can say myself, I was a great student because I went above and beyond. And it's true what they say, whatever you do in elementary, middle school, and high school, is what you are going to do when you get to college. Your study habits, your level of energy that you had in the classroom will follow you to your first semester at whatever college you are at. And the way I've learned to work hard and to go beyond what the teacher gave you is exactly what I took in my first semester of college. And I ended up being on the dean's list, not for one semester, but for two. Being a great student and being a lover of learning and retaining information will lead you to get into any college you want. A student may squeeze their way into City College or any other college, but for you to have worked 4 years, you should be getting into school, especially in this school, with the teachers that you have who are willing to stay after hours, after 4, after 5, all the way up until 6 o'clock to help you, are willing to come on weekends to help you with SAT prep. You should be getting into schools like St. John's, Fordham, Columbia, any school that you want to get into. The world, as a great student, the world is yours. The world is absolutely yours. And I believe that being a great student, as I said, it takes you beyond, but it lets you know that having an education makes you superior. It makes you an extraordinary human being. Because you can walk out of these doors and talk without sounding like a fool. I mean, it's like, you ever heard a person who just talks? Like they just ham, 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 but they say nothing? Why? Having an education gives you the opportunity to speak and to change lives and to make an impact on not only North America, but South America, Africa, Asia, Australia, even Antarctica. It lets you move around. When my first semester of college, really, example right here. My first semester of college was, I don't want to say scary, but I was a little unsettled. It's my first time outside of Great Tomorrow's Elementary, Middle School, and Ala High School, so I don't know what these teachers are like. They're crazy. They know academics, but they don't have a biblical background, so I'm not trying to listen to what they're saying because they can send me to hell. So it's those things that it scares you. But having this background, especially if you've been here for all 4 years, they build you up with enough strength to know right from wrong. If your teacher, it gives you the discernment to notice if your teacher's insane, really insane, or just completely ludicrous. So I want, for those of you who are graduating 12th grade, don't forget what these teachers have instilled in you, what they've worked so hard to drill into you for 4 years and some of you longer. Don't forget any of it, because when you walk out of these doors, you're going to need them. For the rest of you who are graduating up to next levels or being promoted, let the teachers work with you. Let them mold your lives so that you can become something great. Let Pastor and Mother Manning mold your lives into something that is going to make you better. Absolutely excellent. Because when you listen to the teachers and they say these things to you and you're like, all right, whatever, 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 4 years from now, you're going to be sitting there like, they were right. So let it be instilled in you. Let it make you something. Become something. Whether it's an astronaut or a linguist, become something. A great student not only wants to be, not only wants to go above and beyond, but they have the hunger to become someone, to have a career that is going to take them everywhere, that will allow them to travel, that will allow them to make an impact on someone else's life. So, as a graduate of Ala High School, I salute all of you guys for working hard, and I implore you to work even harder. Peace.
All right, everybody, that was an extraordinary speech, and everybody was just so blessed by it. I was enthralled, hanging on to every word of the Esther's poise, her diction, her conviction, her presence, her authority with young people is just off the charts. And we're so blessed to have her as a part of our ministry, our leadership team. We all agree that she has the world at her fingertips. Amen. And that she's going to is a great asset to this ministry and a greater asset to Almighty God as she goes forward.
Yes.
To begin to help this ministry to grow and also to help young people as well. We are so thankful. She's going, by the way, she's going to be traveling. If you contributed to the traveling classroom, she's going to be traveling with us to Asia, to China, and to South Korea. And I'm looking forward to spending 12 days with her away from. I'll see her every day. I don't see that. I used to do that every day when she was in school here, right, a year or so ago. But we're just so very, very proud of her. I can't begin to tell you. I don't have the time to tell you how she has stood in the midst of a volcanic collapse of young people in this ministry who just collapsed, who gave way to love of Obama. They gave way to love of the world. They gave way to black culture. They abdicated the power of Jesus. And they abdicated the love and the nurturing that this church had fed them, both physically and spiritually, for years. They just turned around and threw it back into the face of the church, unfortunately. But Esther stood strong and tall. And I think that we will never forget that, and Jesus will never forget it as well.
Right.
So we're so thankful to have her as part of our process. You'll hear more from her, certainly, in the years and the days, weeks, and years to come. Sabbath, we got to wrap this up today. Very interesting day.
That it was.
You know, and the whole matter of the Hillary Clinton is now, they're not even talking about it anymore.
Yeah,
they just, such a powerful conference. You would think this would be they'd be talking about this the way they were talking about the Pulse nightclub.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
I mean, four Americans lost their lives there, but this is not important. We have a lot of problems in the media. And what they're doing now is trying to find a way to beat up on Donald Trump. You know, we have handicapping the situation we'd wanted to be able to do today. We don't have the time to do that. Perhaps we'll get a chance to do it tomorrow. You'll be holding down the fort tomorrow, as I will be in court tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Our hearing on the foreclosure action before Judge Manuel Mendez at 71 Thomas Street, room 210. I will be calling in, giving reports as to how the hearing is going as you hold down the fort, and we'll have... we'll have our valedictorian. We'll have her speech on Thursday, along with our keynote speaker. Will be a part of our Thursday broadcast as well. So we are just thankful to the Lord that God Almighty has brought us to this point.
Amen.
Of leadership, and that He has smiled so greatly upon what we have endeavored to do today. I tell you, if America allows Hillary Clinton, and not just Hillary, but Barack Hussein Obama, to get away with the deaths of those four persons at Benghazi, you have no place to go. You have no place to go anymore in terms of safety, security, or our democratic or political process, and certainly the media itself. needs to be expunged from our. I think need to be put on trial as well. You are listening to the Manning Report, concluding our broadcast today. I am James Xavier Manning,
and I am Sabbath Rachel Loeffler.
And to you out there, peace out.
I got my mojo working, baby, and I'm gonna try it on you. Oh yeah, I got my mojo working, baby, and I'm gonna try it out on you. Oh yeah, well I tried in New York City, oh now I'm gonna try it on you. Oh yeah, I got my mojo working, baby, and I'm gonna try it on you. Oh, look later, I'm got my mojo working, baby.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.